You're listening to the Higher Ideas Podcast, where ideas grow. Connect on higherideas.net. Now here's your host, I.
Hello, fellow human, and welcome back to the Higher Ideas Podcast. Today's episode is pretty special. A lot of firsts here. First of all, for the first time in a very long time, I'm not alone. I've got a guest. I used to do this once in a while. It has been a very long time. But today I've got a guest with me, Karim, who has joined me here in Tarapoto for ayahuasca for the last 2 weeks. We're fresh out of a two-week dieta where I work, doing ayahuasca. But more than that, Karim is the first person from the podcast that A, I have physically met, and B, who has come to drink ayahuasca with me. So it was pretty exciting to get him here. And to get to know him and to see what kind of person listens to this podcast. And I gotta say, I've been pretty impressed so far. So, I asked him to join us here today for a chat about what we just experienced together. So, Karim, welcome to the Higher Ideas Podcast.
Thanks a lot. It's been such a big journey since we first talked online. I've been listening to your podcast for quite some time. We've been exchanging words. And finally, I'm here, met you, and it's such a pleasure to finally be on the podcast and awesome. Talk about all the cool stuff.
Yeah, the first fellow human to come and shake my hand, and it's been great. Yeah. How was it for you coming over here? How are you feeling coming in, meeting this guy you've been listening to forever, coming to drink ayahuasca with him, which he's been talking about forever? Yeah. You've been listening to him talk about it. How are you feeling coming in here?
First of all, I'm going to say I completely respect you for the journey that you've taken from Toronto to here. This has been something I've been wanting to do for such a long time. And you're actually here. You've done it. You're in the flesh. And I really respect that. So just wanted to say that in the beginning. Moving into you specifically and the dieta, I want to say you've been such a great guide. Even with a person that's done lots of ceremonies before, you've still showed me some tips and tricks to use in ceremonies. And talking about the diet itself, I'm going to say there are no words in any language known to human that can describe the experience I've had. And it's just mind-blowing. Yeah. Magnificent.
Yeah, it has been magnificent. It was a really special dieta, not just for Karim, but for myself too. Coming in, you never know what will happen with a person as a guide guiding someone through a process like this. I knew you were solid. You had experience, as you described. You've had, I think you told me, about 20 sessions before with ayahuasca.
Correct.
But you had never done a serious, deep, focused dieta as we do. And, you know, I felt you were ready for it. I didn't have any worries on that level. But you never know, you know, how are we going to get along? How is this all going to play out? What kind of person is he going to turn out to be as I get to know him? And it was butter smooth, this whole thing. And you're just this solid human. It was apparent from the start, but I got to see it even more as we went through everything. And you were just taking everything just fine. No, you barely had a bump in your dieta. You took all the input and you put it to work with gusto, you know? And just so you guys know, fellow humans, you know, I'm always talking about small miracles and magic around ayahuasca and crazy, all the stories I share. And Karim got to see a good dose of that stuff.
Big time.
So also, for the first time, I've got a witness, right?
It's true, it's true.
It's true.
It's not a lie.
Oh, no. And we can't get into all the details because some of this, which we shared, Karim and I, is very sacred. Yeah, and shouldn't be shared. It should be experienced for those who come and dare to see it. But, of course, we can share some things here and there.
Yeah.
Now, the thing that I'd like to bring up right off the bat, which Karim can corroborate here, is the first times we drank in our process. For those 2 weeks, we drank about 6 times, didn't we, the ayahuasca?
Yeah. Yeah.
6 different nights over 2 weeks. And the 2 first times we drank together, myself, as his sort of guide and guardian, I'd find myself in ceremony wondering about him once in a while. How's he doing over there? You know, should I go and check on him? And in my mind, as I would think those words, I would think, I wonder how Paul is doing. And I'd correct myself, and I'd say, what are you doing? His name is Karim. And I got to tell you, Karim, even to this moment, using that name for you, Karim, I hesitate internally. I always want to call you Paul. And it kept happening into the second night of drinking. And so the morning after, when I went to visit him at his little camp, I thought, yeah, let's just throw this out. And I told him, look, I'm going to tell you something weird. Okay, I don't know why, but every time that I'm thinking about you when we drink, I call you Paul. And I just concluded by just leaving him with these words, your secret name is Paul. Didn't I say that?
Yes, correct.
And it wasn't until the next day where Karim told me what he's about to tell you.
So, a little story about that. I really thought about it, and I'm like, Paul, that has nothing to do with me. And then I really looked back. So, just to give you a little bit of a background, I'm... at birth, I'm a Coptic Christian from the Egyptian background, and you're given a name, and my name was Boulis, and Boulis is translated to Paul.
So his secret name, which he himself doesn't use and has forgotten.
Never, I've never used it, not once.
It's just like paperwork or something, right?
It was just
his click. Secret name is Paul, and so. There it is, a little piece of magic, of weird, whoa, what the hell?
Yeah, that was one of many.
just a little one. And, you know, like I said, even to now, I don't know why you're Paul to me. Even though I call you Karim out of respect, that is your name. In my head, it's always Paul. So you're always going to be Paul, fellow human.
Cool.
Fellow human Paul.
Yeah. And just to touch base on the dieta on my behalf, it's the first time I do or drink in solo, and thinking about it is terrifying for anybody, even with experience, because most of these places you normally do it in a ceremonial
ceremony space with a shaman and other people. It's a group thing, but at our place, what he's mentioning there is most of the process for us is in your own little shelter, drinking your medicine at night. There's people nearby if you need help, but you're sort of alone. And that's scary for a lot of people, as you're saying there.
Yeah, and once I experienced it, I was like, wow, this is actually not bad at all. And this is the best way to do it. And from my experience, yes, the ceremonies are cool. You've got people around you. You feel comfortable. But the distractions, even the next day, it's hard to kind of grasp what you've experienced, because you've got people talking, they just want to release, they're scared of being alone, so they just blurt out whatever they want to say. So in isolation, it's you and nature, the animals, the beautiful insects, it's everything, and it's just you and your notebook, and you can just jot down everything nice and fresh, and it's the way to do it.
Yeah.
I believe it's the only way to do it.
You know, I believe that too, that's why I'm here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's there's magic at work there. We are all connected, aren't we?
And especially us too. I want to say that we must have had something just connected in some way, some past life, whatever it is. We were from the same cloth.
Oh yeah, we're very similar humans.
Very similar.
So I could understand why you were listening to the podcast, right? You probably felt the vibe in me that I feel in you.
Yeah, big time.
The vibe we're talking about here is, you know, we're both hardworking, self-improving, do better humans, right?
Yeah.
And sculpting ourselves into something better that we're trying to constantly be. And we're both also out there to help the world, aren't we? We both have that fire in us.
Big time.
Use your life to do things to help this world. We're healers.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah. When you came in here and I had that sense, you'd work with Cambo for people over there. You were telling me about using it to help people.
Yeah.
In your life back there, and you'd worked with many medicines before, and you're very serious, obviously, about this stuff. So I recognize, you know, here's probably a healer. And as I got to know you through the dieta, and as more things came up for you and your experience and between us, I saw more and more, this guy is on the healer's path, just like me. Mm-hmm. And what an honor. He's been listening to the podcast. He chose to come and drink ayahuasca with us. And he made some big steps on that path for himself
100%.
While he's been here. And he's been there for me, too. He's helped me take a big step.
Yeah.
Big step in my own growth. So it's a beautiful... what a beautiful tapestry we weave together. two threads coming together to make a knot in a, in a place in the big tapestry that's just helping weave the big picture, you know? I definitely have a sense, I've told you this already, that, you know, you're moving forward, your life, you're going to do something big for healing in your own way, you know? And that's great, and it's been an honor to be a part of it for you, and to see it happen for you, this new step. What would you say the new step for you in this two-week experience on the healer's path for yourself? What is the new thing that you stepped into during this?
I'm going to say, without getting into too much detail, because this is a very sacred moment for me, on the last ceremony, it moved me in a way that I never thought was possible. I thought, hey, you know, I've experienced everything with ayahuasca, you know, it's just working on certain things and intentions, but forget intentions. What it showed me moved me in a way that will definitely come out when I'm back in my regular routine around people. I do want to do good. That is my motto, is just do good. And you can really tell with people that really need it, they're looking for it. And I just want to be there for people. I don't want anything in return. And that's hence the Cambo, because I actually don't charge. A lot of people charge money for it. I just see people that really need it, and I give it to them.
Yeah.
And I've got really good results. And maybe that's one of the things that way of giving back to people that really need it.
You know what? This actually makes me realize, I've spoken about a bunch of different medicines on this podcast, obviously focused a lot on ayahuasca, because that's what I'm heavily into now. But since you're here, you're kind of a bit of a Cambo expert.
Yeah.
You're bringing up a word I've never explained on the podcast. There may be people who have no idea what we're talking about. So why don't you give us the rundown on Cambo?
So it all started, let's say, 2 years ago in Iquitos, when I did it was an ayahuasca a couple of ceremonies in Iquitos, and one day they told me part of the package is you do Cambo, and I got my first three shots, and it was it's a hefty medicine. You feel very close to that death experience, you know.
It starts. It comes from the frog.
Yeah. Correct.
The giant tree frog, which eats ants.
Correct.
Which have a toxin in them that it uses as a defense. It puts it in its skin.
Yeah.
So that if it gets eaten, the animal trips out like crazy. It's a poison, right? It's a defensive poison that this frog puts on its skin. And then they
find it when it calls about 4 or 5 in the morning, and they give it a little tickle, and there comes the beautiful gel.
So you stimulate the frog, and then the frog oozes out.
Exactly.
And then they collect that on a stick.
Correct. And it's not harmed in any way. They let it go after. They really respect it. They dry it off on a stick, and then they sell it.
Right.
And
the way it's used.
And then the way it's used, they just burn a couple of spots on you, and then remove the blisters, apply the medicine, and almost instantly you'll feel your heart racing, you'll sweat, you'll swell a little, and then you'll feel the purge wanting to come out. You'll feel really, really sick, like the most intense, let's say food poisoning you've experienced. Before that, you do have to drink the water about two liters before, just so it can absorb everything, and it'll help with the purge.
Something to vomit out.
And then a couple of minutes in, then you start to want to purge, and then it's fine from there. So you do your purging, let it out, and about half an hour after, you're sober. And you're just enjoying the beautiful feeling. It's like an entity just that's entered in you, just trying to find anything wrong with you. And it's a beautiful healer. I myself have used it in intense moments where I got intense food poisoning, and I said, "Hey, I have a beautiful medicine that I can try." And next day, it's completely gone. I'm not a guy that likes to use pharmaceuticals, and I believe so much in this medicine. And it's helped me in many ways. So I'm really, really grateful for this beautiful frog. I'm beautiful for the spirit behind it, and And yeah, that's what I can say about it.
Does it put you into any kind of visionary experience?
Not at all. It's not a hallucinogenic experience at all. It's a massive detox is what it is.
Mm-hmm. So it's physical.
Physical.
Yeah. Physical cleanse.
Yeah, and it's legal. It's nothing illegal about it.
Yeah, at least for now.
For now, yeah.
They love to attack medicines, don't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Maestro, though, did tell us that when he took it, he went into a visionary state and met the chief of the tribe from which the Cambo is from, the Matsis. And he told us that the chief, he had to get into a war with this chief, who is the guardian of the medicine. And the chief had a spear, and Maestro ended up taking the spear away from the chief, which meant he beat him. And then the chief said, "Okay, you beat me. You are now master of Cambo." And Maestro gave him back the spear and said, "I'm an ayahuasca man, thanks a lot."
That was a powerful one, huh?
So I guess a shaman probably does get sent into a visionary state, but I guess typically not, huh?
Yeah, no.
Do people ever describe having some kind of visions when they take it? And
never.
Into that intense...
So let's talk about the, let's say the afterglow. So like a couple of days after, what are you expecting from it? I've had people saying my vision has become a lot better. The main things I have noticed is, you know, when you're in your daily work routine, you've got a cloud of negativity sometimes above you. That completely clears it. It gets you really into your focus. And this is how they used to use it. The natives used to use it for hunting.
There's so many medicines. Yeah.
So they would take Cambo, and what it would do is it resets all your senses. You become super, super sharp. Your sense of smell, taste, your eyesight, your hearing becomes animalistic.
Mm-hmm.
And they would just run off into the jungle and hunt. And hunt successfully. So I've been getting a lot of that focus, the senses and all of that. I've been hearing it a lot. So it's a common thing to experience maybe a couple of days after, up to a week, maybe a month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fascinating, man.
It is fascinating.
There are so many powerful medicines out there, you know?
And that's one of many, you know?
Many,
Who knows what else is out there?
Yeah, you know, there's mushrooms, there's Cambo, there's the cactus, there's Iboga over in Africa.
Yeah.
Good God, so many more, right? There's marijuana, which is a sort of everyday, super powerful medicine that people take for granted, but that can be used to much better effect than people even realize if you do it in a disciplined and shamanic way.
Yeah.
What else is there that I'm blanking on here? Jeez. Ayahuasca, of course, which I talk about
that
plenty.
That is the mother.
Yeah. What else is there in these?
You've got the 5-MeO-DMT, so that the frog, you smoke it.
Right, the smokable DMT.
Yeah,
there's all kinds of spiritual medicines out there. And it seems like, while there are some that are cleanses, like the Cambo, it seems like the majority of them, at least the teacher medicines which speak to you, seems like they put you in a psychedelic state, right? They put you in that intensely meditative, dream-like state and in contact with the spirits, you would say.
And before I forget, you made me, you know, just think of a point here. And this is something I came to realize when using so many of these medicines, just like in life, you have to go through hardship to see the light at the end of the path, to see any sort of healing, to see any sort of good that comes out of it. You have to go through a rough time.
Yep.
And just like anything in life, you're not going to succeed unless you've put in your hours.
No pain, no gain.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm often describing, you know, our center, the way we work. Think of it as a gym. Think of it as a martial arts dojo. You come to train, you come to work hard and fail and try again. Sometimes get beat on the head with a stick by the master, you know, when you're selling yourself short, you think you can't finish. The master knocks you and goes, "Finish." And then you find out you can, and you just needed someone to push you.
How many times have you gotten people asking you, which is a good point to maybe say in this podcast, is people always come and tell me, "You've done ayahuasca so many times, you've done this so many times, why'd you keep doing it? What are you searching for?"
Yeah, that question comes up even in the forums many times.
Yeah.
People asking if ayahuasca is effective, why do people keep going to it? Sounds like it's fake, and then they just keep going back to an ineffective medicine. But the answer is, why do you go back to the gym?
Right.
Why do you keep going to school?
Yeah.
Right? It's bettering yourself. And you get to a line where, for an individual, they may say, "Yeah, I think I've done enough work. I can live like this." you know, no kinks in the works that are in the way, and nothing that I care to deal with anymore, and I'm done. People have done that, and that's fine. That's the point. Now go live and be a powerful human, and hopefully a human doing stuff for the greater good. Become healing. Do good in the world. Don't become a villain with your power, you know? Yeah. And I think these medicines automatically try to teach that, although you can definitely take the power from these medicines and just be a, you know, a big shot tycoon in big money industries and use your inspiration for personal gain if that's how you wanted to stick it, right? Yeah. But I think by and large it inspires people to have contact with these forces, these beautiful forces of nature. By and large it seems to inspire people to want to protect nature, to want to bring health to the world and stop contributing to ill health in themselves and in the world. And that alone helps heal the world. Because how many of us out there in our sickness are contributing to the illness of the world, hurting people around us, putting sickness in them, paying it forward in sickness, because we didn't want to put the work in, we didn't want to face our own demons, and those demons, through us, through the actions we do at their bidding, these personal demons of ours, lash out everywhere and cut everyone around us, and then they grow demons.
Yeah.
So
all these medicines have an intelligence that is just mind-blowing, and we experience it both, like we all experience it at some point. You just realize, specifically in ayahuasca, it has its own intelligence. If you're going for 1 week dieta, it knows. If you're going for a 2 week dieta, it knows as well, you know. And it will give you what you need to experience.
Yeah, it's at the pace that's appropriate to how long you're there.
Correct.
Yeah, it's the magic of dieta.
Correct. Yeah. And I asked you at the end, if there's a person with, let's say, no psychedelic experience, how would you come up and help him out or her?
Yeah, it's the same. They come in, we prep them, we give them the medicine, and we take it one day at a time. See how it acts with them. React accordingly, adjust any instabilities in the works, you know, if they're starting to go a little wonky, we just fix that up and let the medicine keep working. And it doesn't matter if you've done it never or if you've been doing it forever. It knows where you're at on your path of advancements, spiritually, physically, mentally, and it'll work on your terms, where you're at. What do you need now? That's what you get, right? And how much time do we have to work with here? This person is here for a week. We got to dose it out faster, stronger, harder. Daft Punk.
Yeah.
They're here for 2 weeks. Okay, we could take it easy. Let's do the, as our 2 weeks turned out. The first one was sort of a massaging start.
Yeah.
You know, get used to the jungle, get used to the process,
and then
get
the
all the energy,
stuff came in,
get all the knots out. And then the second week,
oh yeah,
all right, here come the miracles. Bam. And especially in the last night. Right?
Yeah, just put your trust that people, put your trust in these medicines. You just have to surrender. So these medicines, they know, it knows what it's doing. Just put your trust and allow it to give you what you're looking for.
Yeah.
With or without experience.
Yep.
It's as simple as that.
And definitely if they don't have experience, I do love for them to come to us, because there's me.
Yeah.
Able to give them the best possible preparation. You didn't need too much prep yourself. I saw that you were pretty good, so I gave you the basics. But you didn't have too much of an elaborate prep talk, so you didn't get to see it.
Yeah.
But if I've got a new person, there is like an hour and a half long to 2 hour prep talk before the first drink, if they've never had it before, just to make sure I give them all of the knowledge they need for when the craziness starts, they'll be able to tell themselves, ah, Pedro said, if this happens, don't freak out. It's going to be okay, right? This is normal. That's normal too. If this is starting to get to you, do this to get around it, you know, and they are able to move through it so smoothly. Whereas a first timer going to a place that just throws you the medicine and sort of, good luck, we'll figure it out as you wipe out. That's not the best way to
start.
You know, my policy is give them the tools first, see how they work with them. If they're not working with the tools well, you've got other days to talk to them and adjust it for next time. Watch how they do, but don't just throw them in the water without telling them how swimming works.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Give them a primer before you throw them in. We've received first timers, as I've told you in our chats, and so far they do amazingly well here. And that's one of the things that makes me most satisfied about being here, is look at this person having such a great introduction to this medicine, where I had a terribly terrifying first experience because I had no such support. So I know how it can go without it. Nothing terribly wrong can happen, but you can freak yourself out so bad that you'll never go towards it again. And I've seen many people in forums speak of it this way too. Ayahuasca, I went to hell, it's the devil, nobody go back to it. I've seen the true light, it's the evil, right? That's because they had a bad first experience and ran away from it, never took it again, and they decided that's what it is.
But it's called the death vine.
It's the vine of the dead.
The vine of the death, yeah. It's meant to give you that experience. It's meant to shake you. It's meant to give you that feeling, these new boundaries that you've never experienced. And this is how it changes you. This is how you become a new person. You experience something that you don't feel comfortable with maybe at some point, and it moves you. It moves you in a way that is not temporary, I'll tell you that much.
When it's done right, yeah, for sure, it sticks.
It's for life. This is this is why, no matter how much money you put into it, you can't put a price on this. This is something that is for your health, for your mental stability. This is for people that have gone through hardships in their life, or not.
Anybody looking to improve anything, whether it be a bad thing in themselves they want to improve, such as illnesses, misalignments, traumas, or just, I want to be better. It's for both, you know? Yeah. And that's why some people keep going forever, because they end up healing themselves. First, it's about healing. And then when they're healed, they go, wow, I could keep going and become so much stronger as a person now. I could just start getting strong and being a force out there that's more powerful, and use that to my goals, right? Which is either for myself or for the world, as we were talking about earlier. It's very important. It's important stuff. You know, we need heroes out there. I talked to you about that too this week. We need more heroes. Because the fact is about heroes, you know, I mean to be talking about this later, you know, Karim hasn't listened to the podcast for a while, but I've been trying to get into this all year. I want to start sharing with people on this podcast principles of personal power. How to become more personally powerful. Tools that I've learned through ayahuasca or just my own path. You know, mental principles, things like that, that help a person become more powerful at doing whatever it is they want to do. Get stuff out of the way, be more unstoppable, right? And ayahuasca definitely does do that, because it works on the weaknesses, all kinds of weaknesses within your own system and your own character. And that's important, because that makes heroes. That makes more powerful heroes. And the fact is, I see a tremendous lack of personal power out there in today's world, especially as technology grows and convenience grows. People sort of glaze into it, right? They become sort of used to depending on others and other systems and other forces to take care of everything for them. And that's a weakening thing to get used to, right? You sort of give away your power.
Yeah.
And I see today that people are generally more like that.
Oh, it's true.
But
it's
I see today a great lack of personal power. And these medicines, everyone coming to these medicines, I feel it's bringing it back a little. You know, it's giving somebody more of that power so they can become more of a hero and help the healing out there, help the fight. There's a fight going on all the time between destruction and saving everything. It certainly seems like the losing end is taking the top.
Yeah. Hey, I strongly believe that there's a hero in all of us, and there's a lot of special people out there with lots of these powers, lots of these good energies out there. They just haven't discovered it yet, and I believe this. It doesn't have to be psychedelics, but it could be a person that just comes up and talks to them and just shows them that, just make them realize, hey, you are special.
Yes,
everybody is unique in their own ways, and it's just, bring that beautiful energy out, bring that beautiful spirit out, and let others experience it as well.
Yeah. My mind is drifting back to our dieta.
Yeah.
And although we can't talk about all the details of our last ceremony, I think there's some details we can share, isn't there? Some aspects of it vaguely.
Yeah.
For instance, I believe the last podcast I shared that I recently graduated in apprenticeship to a more responsible level where I was finally able to participate in ceremony with my harmonica. Mm. For the very first time, Maestro allowed me to take part and give my mark to the ceremony musically. And that meant I was getting closer to running my own ceremonies. And on this last ceremony, Maestro left us alone, didn't he? He kind of ejected himself out of that ceremony.
Yeah.
Very early on. And that was going to end our dieta in a weird way, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't understand it, and none of us understood it, really, because I didn't get any effects of it. And I was like, Maestro, he was like, how are you guys doing? How was the ceremony? I'm like, Maestro, I didn't feel anything. I was just that. And then he gave me this laugh, and I didn't understand this laugh. It was like a, ha, 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 okay. And then he just kind of walked away. And then here we were, Pedro and I, just kind of sitting there. Just enjoying the night.
Just breathing, yeah. The thing I noticed between the two of us, sorry to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
Is, you know, I think we both have a sense of when to just be still in the moment and not fill the moment needlessly with the ayahuasca in us. And we both sort of laid there. He had told us to go to bed, each of us. He said, let's all go to bed and continue work. Our work on our own. And I felt, you know, Karim can go ahead and go to bed. I kind of just want to stay here. And you probably thought the same thing, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Pedro can go to bed. I'm staying here. Yeah. So we both just silently stayed.
Yeah.
And we were both in our own thoughts, I suppose.
Yeah. And then I lit up tobacco. Just because, you know, just light up a tobacco.
You've been learning through this dieta.
Exactly.
How to properly use tobacco ceremonially for giving thanks, for communication with the spirits.
That was a new thing you've taught me. And I said, hey, let's light up some tobacco. And then I started feeling a purge coming, and I'm like, oh, wait, what is this? And it came out, and it came out strong. I'm like, whoa, okay. So I kind of sat there, and then out of the blue, boom, 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 the most intense experience I have ever had with this medicine. Intense visuals, intense experience, intense everything. It was just, whoa, what is this? And then it hit me. Maestro knew. He knew. And that was a magical moment. It's like you think that, you know, these shamans, that their energy are so strong. They know what's going on. They know exactly what happened there.
So when you commented sort of, no effect.
Yeah. Just that.
And he laughed.
He laughed, yeah.
You sense in his laugh, it was just, you wait, buddy boy.
Yeah, you just wait. What's coming to you?
And he went to bed, and he left us. Now, in that moment, when you had that sudden up spike, I was gone, wasn't
I? Yeah, you were gone. I thought you went back to your tambo.
I had gone to speak to Maestro.
Yeah.
Maestro stonewalled me completely, which he's never done. So I went to his door. Maestro. 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 Not a word. Not a breath. I thought, all right, he wants his space. What do I do? Now, I was in a bummer state because that moment of the ceremony had ended badly for me. I had been caught in a lot of pain. It had all come up, physical pain connected to emotional pain, all sorts of struggle. I was in a bad state, kind of sad. So I thought, what do? I'm going to go to the bathroom for a bit. I sat in that toilet for a while.
Yeah.
Didn't need to pee or anything. I just sort of sat there, and I was in the dumps. And there was this mosquito flying near me. I just kept... And I was like shooing it. It would get out of my face. And I was thinking of all the problems. And then I just had a moment eventually where I thought, all right, that's enough, dummy. Enough. Get up. Get back to it.
Yeah.
So I get up, and now you were in...
And here I was alone.
I had no idea you were already back in the big stuff. I get back in the Maloka, the shared space we were in. I lay down. And I decide... You know what, Pedro? Just bring it.
Yeah.
Bring all your tools. Help yourself as you would alone. Karim's here. He can leave if he wants. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do a ceremony right now. So that was the big thing for me that night. I started to do a ceremony, which was initially just for me. But Karim's presence was so important for me. I won't get into the details, of course. But he was so important for me there. His feedback, his input... My songs were coming out right when he needed them, he told me later. I was singing my songs when I felt they were right to sing. I played my harmonica beautifully, if I say so even myself. I was listening to it thinking, good God, the magic is here. And it just got stronger from there.
Magic indeed. That magic. Was sacred. Sacred. That was a sacred moment.
And we spent hours in that extra ceremony of mine for the first time. Yeah. A ceremony for someone else, with someone else, for myself and for him. And we bonded so strong in just those hours.
Yeah. I gotta say, you did such a good job. And the Icaros just lit something in me that's so emotional.
And Icaros are the medicine songs for anyone who doesn't know.
Yeah, and when I was really deep into it, and I could barely even hear Pedro there because I was so into it, and then he started to sing, and it just lit everything up, and I obviously couldn't say anything because I was just lost for words, and I was just so deep into it, but mentally I was saying it in my head. I'm like, this is just perfect, and I'm just so proud of this moment, because I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, it was a breakthrough moment for the both of us.
It was
just breakthrough.
Yeah, so without going into details, I can tell you that we got to talking in the later part of the ceremony together after all that intensity passed, and I expressed to Karim some stuff that I had been carrying all alone for a very long time, and all this time wrestling with it myself. It's so complicated. It is such a deep web. And I just verbalized all of it to him for the first time to someone, not even Maestro. I never told him. And Karim was there for me, calm, asking the right questions about it to get me thinking in the right directions to keep going. And that was so helpful to help me finally move through what I feel has been such a big blockage for me in my path as an apprentice, as a growing healer in this medicine. In that first ceremony of mine, it wasn't just a discipline ceremony, it was a human sharing experience with a fellow human from the Higher Ideas podcast, who came to me, helped support me financially, trusted that I'm not full of shit, and that I'm not lying, and that there is something here really worth coming to. And thanks to his coming, helped me step up onto a new stage that I'm now on, you know?
It was an honor to be there, and it was natural.
It was natural. It was just natural. So serendipitous.
Nothing was forced. Nothing was... It was just natural, genuine...
Human conversation.
And it just led to something that we will both never forget.
Oh, yeah.
For the rest of our lives.
Oh, yeah. Good conversation.
Yeah.
Long and calm, and then we get into silences where we both just drift. I'd play a little more music, we talk again,
and I discovered the harmonica, and I want to buy one right now.
The harmonica.
It was instant love, and I just knew how to play it.
Listening to me play the harmonica all week, still not interested.
We even spoke
about it before I gave it to you. You were saying, I'm not really drawn to it, you know, it sounds nice, but ... And then way late in the night, in the hammock, afterglow, he was saying, I wish I had my jaw harp.
Yeah.
Which is so much like a harmonica. So many qualities that are similar. Shape of the mouth is important, everything. And then I tell him, you know, I got some extras. You want one to play with? And he goes, nah, I don't know. I'm like, I'll get you one.
Okay.
Give him a harmonica. Puts it in his mouth. The first breath. Beautiful. Falls in love. Yeah. And I can tell you guys, fellow human, we were, of course, in the afterglow of ayahuasca, still having visions here and there. And as he played those first notes on the harmonica, just discovering its sounds, I had my eyes closed next to him on the hammock. And as he played, I had a vision of a beautiful flower blooming out of the front of that harmonica, slowly petals unfurling, and then the little stems inside reaching out, leaves opening up, a beautiful little flower. And I think that was a representation of you falling in love with it.
Yeah,
that was your love coming out of the harmonica.
I can't wait to go back and buy a couple.
It's been a pleasure to introduce someone else to this love of mine. He finally gets it.
New instruments, people.
Music is magic. That is for sure. Especially in the hands of someone who knows how to put energy and care into their music. It is moving magic. energy moving magic. Yeah, and that was the end of our 2-week dieta. Was this long special night just between the two of us. And after all of this, here we sit.
Yeah.
Friends for life of some kinds, yeah. For sure. For sure.
For sure.
Yeah. And there was this comfort between us from the start, wasn't there?
Yeah.
I had a feeling that I knew you before. We probably knew each other in a past life.
100%.
Yeah. And we know where it was. We won't say
it
necessarily. We knew where that was.
We do, indeed.
Oh, God. So much magic, fellow humans. I wish we could tell the details, and I hate to tease you with it. But there's a certain line that I've been describing here and there on the podcast where you realize I want to share this so much, but this probably shouldn't be spoken.
Yeah. Respect it. Respect the sacred moments, because just come here.
Just do it. Just
come.
Do it.
Come and experience it for yourself. And you will have these moments, guaranteed.
Oh, man. It's been such an interesting... This, by far, I've done a ton of dietas. Best one so far. Most memorable one. Most powerful ending.
Myself as well.
So much serendipity woven through this whole week here and there. You know, the wasp.
Mm-hmm.
The wasp that's on my arm, which I've spoken about on this podcast here and there, again, has been a big figure for my ayahuasca path. And you had a dream about a wasp.
Yeah. And it stung me right in the heart. And I'm like, whoa, that was intense. And I woke up the next morning with a little bit of an itch on my arm. And I look over, and there's a really weird hair-looking object in my arm. And I try to pull at it, and it's not coming out. So I grab tweezers, and there it is, a stinger. And that was just... I couldn't explain that.
The dream of a wasp. Was it the tarantula wasp?
It was a tarantula wasp.
It was my wasp on my arm.
It was a tarantula
wasp. Which means very much to me. And it had been flying through your tambo all week. It had been visiting you.
It's been visiting me.
The wasp. And when that wasp shows up in my dietas and I see it, it's significant. It means something. It means big night tonight when you drink, things like that. Mother Ayahuasca is here. It was visiting his tambo. It stung him in a dream. He woke up with a stinger in his arm. And we had a conversation with Maestro, all three of us, in his Karim's tambo near the end of the week. A long, comfortable conversation about all kinds of things. And at the end of that conversation, that wasp came and landed right on Maestro's arm. Just for a second, just to touch him, say hello, and it left. He didn't react. We both saw it, and we thought, what the hell?
No way.
The wasp just came and landed and left. And... as I told Karim at the end of all this, my interpretation of it when he told me about that dream, I didn't want to say it right away because I wasn't sure. But after that last ceremony, I'm sure. Yeah. The dream of that wasp stinging him in the heart was a representation of my part in the medicine.
Correct.
This is Pedro's medicine. He's working medicine on you too this week.
Yeah.
And here it is, and it's going to hit you in the heart. And it did hit you in the heart on that last day, didn't you?
The tarantula hawk did it.
Talk about the joy, man. Can you want to share about the joy?
In the last ceremony. I've discovered, oh my God, I've discovered what joy really means. A lot of people say happiness and joy just for the sake of saying it, but I understood what joy meant. And it was just an explosion of this. You just can't describe it. It was just an explosion of joy in my heart, in my body, in everything. And I just wanted to spread it. I just couldn't wait for the effects to wear off, so I could just tell Pedro this joy. It's just spiritual. It's sacred. It's holy. To experience this, I was just, you know, I.
And how long did that wave go, would you guess? How long did you get hit with this?
This must have been a solid 30 minutes to 45 minutes.
Wow.
Of just intense joy of whatever it was, you know? And it's funny because the medicine knew. This is the last night. You've done a lot of work.
Yeah.
Here you go. Purge everything out and just enjoy whatever comes, and I did enjoy it.
It definitely was the reward of good work. You kicked ass in that dieta. You did it right. You did it disciplined. And this is why we dieta in this serious way. Because when you do it in this serious way, the rewards come. The big shifts come. The big healings come. The miracles show up. You know, everyone thinks ayahuasca is healing and miraculous. All you have to do is drink it. What would you say about that at this point?
I want to say, I've always actually, it's not the first time, I always say, it's you. It's how far you want to go. So you put in the work, you put in the hours, you will get rewarded. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
Of course, the medicine does have its intelligence and it does help guide you. It's nothing but a tool. And however much you want to expand and grow, it will give it to you. So put in that work. Yeah. And you will see something or things that just cannot be put in words. It's just out of this world.
Yeah, there's some really big stuff happening behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah, sacred stuff.
Yeah.
And these medicines are sacred. They're not called sacred plants for nothing. They are not. They put you in touch straight to the top.
Yeah.
Straight to the top.
And I gotta say, it's coming to my point where I've done it so many times in ceremonies, but the best way to do it is in isolation. It's you and yourself and the medicine, and that's it. Work it.
Yeah, connect with it.
Connect with it.
Don't be afraid experience to sit with it. Don't be afraid to listen to it. Let it approach. Let it touch.
Surrender to it.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Good God. What an amazing last ceremony we had there.
Yeah.
You know, is there anything you'd want to express to the other listeners of this podcast? Here you sit, a listener of the podcast for a long time. You know, I have no idea. Let me express this to you. I have no idea who listens to this podcast. I have no idea in general what kind of people they are. All I know is that they're listening.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's a bunch of them, and I'm not even sure how many there are. And I'm not sure what they're thinking. I don't know what they want.
I can help you with that.
Help me.
So I'm just talking from my own experience.
Please, fellow human.
I want to know.
Know
I wanna,
what?
I want to know these experiences people are having. I want to know what your experience is. Whether it's how you got to where you are now, your massive journey of just letting everything go in Toronto and dedicating your life to this medicine, to this retreat, to this everything. I want to know that. I want to know how this medicine works with you so that I maybe can relate. I want to know how people think on this medicine. I want to know how psychedelics move people. I want to know the spiritual world. There's so many things, and that's why we listen. We don't know what we want to listen to, but you've categorized so many things that are just interesting. And something about your voice, something about the way you explain things just make the subjects very interesting.
Wow.
And make us all want to listen. And I think that's what it is. And I just hope there's more listeners that can experience what I've experienced. It just comes down to that.
What can I do, in your opinion, to help this podcast grow, explode? Finally, you know, I gotta tell you, I feel like it's not growing. I feel like I'm pissing my energy into the winds. I feel sometimes so alone because there is so little feedback. There's some feedback sometimes, and there's the Patreon supporters, thank God always, for you guys. At least there I see, look, these few people, look at the money they're giving you.
Yeah.
So you can keep going. They believe something is happening there.
That's your proof right there.
Definitely. But they're also silent, a lot of them. But I would love to at least hear from people. Tell me, what do you think? What do you want to hear about? What guide me? Because I have so much I can say, so many directions to go. It's tough. You know what it feels like? So often I've had this image. It feels like I'm on a stage with a microphone in an auditorium, thousands of seats, and I'm just talking all my stuff into this podcast. And I have no idea if there's anyone in the seats because there's a blinding spotlight on me. And I don't hear laughter. I don't hear gasps. I don't hear applause. And so I don't know how I'm doing. There's no feedback on that level.
I'll tell you one thing. There's many people that have started so basic, that have started with nothing. But it's dedication. They kept doing what they love.
Mm.
And if you keep doing what you love, people will see it. It's only a matter of time. Just keep doing it. Don't slack off. Don't hold back. Just keep doing it. I'm sure people have your email. They have ways of contacting you. And if they really want to hear a subject or they want to know something, they'll email you. But just in the meantime, just keep doing what you're doing. And what you're doing is definitely magic. It's great. I love it. So just keep doing it. Spread the word. Put it on forums.
Oh, yeah.
Put it out there.
Yeah.
You know? People will learn of this magic. People will want to learn. Just keep doing it.
Can I ask you a bit of a, not so much a selfish question, but something that, a favor to me, sort of. You know, you got to know me very well.
Right.
Here. Especially in our long conversation, that beautiful last ceremony.
Yeah.
Hours of conversation open up so much. Can you please attest for the people about how much sacrifice, how hard I've been going at this, how much I actually care, all of that?
Well,
am I phony?
No, 100% not. Listen, I could see that this is a genuine man that has gone through so much in life, just like everybody. We've all gone through so much. But the dedication you have is out of this world. You do want to do good. You do want to help. You just need the people to see it. You need people to realize this. And they will.
Mm.
It's guaranteed. People will see it. They just have to come and experience it for themselves.
Yeah.
I've seen it, man. There's everybody goes through struggle, but as you've seen, at a point where you really felt broken down and you know, maybe giving up at some points, life just gives you this and that right away, and it just spikes everything up again. So this just comes to show you, when you do good, it will come back.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
And you know, words like that, the heart that Kerim has, you know, turning to him for advice like that. He's a healer. You guys hear it? You got the heart of a healer, 1,000,000%.
Thanks, man.
In every way. That's why, you know, I send blessings to you on your path. I will be there always.
So will I.
when you need advice from a fellow warrior. You know I'm there.
Thanks, man.
Oh, my God. Are we at the end of it?
I think we're at the end.
Yeah?
Yeah, we've covered some golden points here.
Is there anything you want to express while your voice is on the podcast?
I just want to say thank you for having me for on a podcast. I didn't think I would ever be on a podcast.
Yeah.
So it's been a privilege. We had a really good talk. I would just say to all the listeners, do the leap of faith and come in. You will experience magic, people. Okay. Spend that cash and come in.
As crass as it sounds,
just it's worth it. It's worth it. It's money at the end of the day. It comes and goes.
Yeah.
Put it to good use.
Not wasted here.
No.
Not wasted here. And when it comes to me, it is needed. So needed.
Yeah.
Oh, God. All right. Well, Kerim, thank you so much. This was great.
Yeah. Chat.
You know what? I'm inspired to keep doing this.
Do it.
If other people, you know, whenever people come here to do this after the dietas, I think I'm going to ask them if they want to sit down and be on the podcast to talk about their experience, talk about the medicine, talk about whatever, especially if they're podcast listeners. So if you guys, podcast listeners out there, if you want to have your voice on the podcast, it's as simple, quote unquote, as flying to Peru, doing a dieta, getting all cleaned up, having the crazy, beautiful experience of magic that it is. And then we'll sit down on the roof of this hotel where we are right now.
Yeah.
And we'll have a little podcast.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me, Pedro.
Thanks for coming and being and trusting and, you know, keep going on your path.
Yeah.
Can't wait to see how you grow. And I hope we keep growing together, side by side.
Do it.
Fighting the good fight.
Yeah.
So, fellow humans, there it is. Karim has left Tarapoto. He is now safely back in his home country, freshly getting back to his life, which is sure to be a lot different, full of new chapters and adventures after the big experience he had here. So, about a week after Karim left us and returned to his home country, and in fact, after this episode had originally been released, I woke up one morning to find a nice little voicemail from him on my Facebook Messenger, which I thought I'd break into the episode right here and include for you guys, just for completion's sake. So here it is.
I'm going to send you a voice note because this is how much I believe in everything that's happened. Thank you, Ushba. Holy fuck, man. I can't tell you all these points that I've been writing down to do when I come back. I've been getting shit done, and I've done them all. Oh my god, has it changed my life, like Ushba, ayahuasca, but the Ushba itself and how it gives that fucking fire and courage. Oh my god. I've got some stuff done that there was no way in hell I would have been able to do before. Thank you, plant. Seriously. This stuff, it's all real. It's all magic, man. Yeah, I would love to know. How's it going with you?
I want to thank Karim, of course, for sharing his experience with us and joining us on the podcast. As always, you can find this podcast over at higherideas.net along with every other episode. And for anyone interested in joining us for an ayahuasca dieta over here in Tarapoto, Peru, joining me and my teacher at the Medicinal Center, which sees many, many very powerful, very deep and unforgettable experiences for people who come here and do the good medicine work, please do check us out over at viaverdetours.com. You can also find that link at the top of higherideas.net. And lastly, to the Patreon patrons I thanked in the middle of this episode, I thank you again. You guys are amazing. Please stick around through the hard times. If I have anything to say about it, this thing is going to grow. And thank you, Karim, for the pat on the back there about all that. So thank you guys for supporting. Anyone else, please do support, even as little to $1 to $5 a month. It really adds up and really helps. And I could always use more. We're still trying to get to the basic survival line. So please do pitch in, guys. And that'll do it for today. So until next time, fellow humans, keep thinking.